This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Last week, the San Antonio Water System trustees approved a deal to begin negotiations to pipe in 50,000 acre-feet of water from the Bastrop area. This water is not going to be dirt cheap, but it would secure the city's water future supply in time with this ongoing drought and a growing population. Meanwhile, SAWS is still working on a state-of-the-art desalinization plant. What do you think about SAWS, where it's headed in the future of water supplies? Are you concerned about not enough attention being paid to conservation? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. And you can also email us at thesource@tpr.org or write directly on our show page on the website at tpr.org. Our guest this half hour is Robert Puente. He's the president and CEO of the San Antonio Water System. Robert, welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
Robert, let me ask you, first off, do you have an update on what's been going on with Stone Oak as they've had some water pressure issues?
Yes, there was a major break in a former Barramet line, a 40-inch line, and it caused just a massive amount of water loss. But what it also caused was a pressure loss to the rest of the Stone Oak area. This line fed into that area. And so what we had to do was ask the Stone Oak residents to curtail their outdoor watering. There's plenty of water for indoor use, health and safety issues, and so far, the last 24 hours, they've been very diligent about following our request to not irrigate. So we're bringing in redundant parts from Dallas and from Houston, and hopefully we'll be fully online later this afternoon, early evening, and back to normalcy come this evening, tomorrow morning.
All right. Thanks for that update. Well, let me ask you about this pipeline. Where are we in these negotiations?
Well, as you mentioned, our board allowed us to start negotiating with this company. And we've had our first meeting last week. The next meeting is the following week. The unique thing about this is that they're not closed-door sessions trying to negotiate price and product and all kinds of other legal issues. These are open meetings, and public is invited, the press is invited, competitors, well-wishers are all invited to come here and listen and understand how we're getting to the point of acquiring this water source for our future.
So are you doing negotiations out in the open? How does that work?
Very slow, very cumbersome, but what it does do is allows us to not be second-guessed by anyone that is saying we're hiding the ball here, we're not being open on this issue, we're giving too much away, so that they will see the give and take of these negotiations. So it was something that we had to convince our people on the other side of the table, the Spanish company of Abengoa and Blue Water, which are the water right holders, that this was not something that they needed to fear, but something that they needed and should embrace that would allow for a win-win contract.
So the negotiations, are you not just buying the water, but also they're going to be drilling and then building the pipeline?
What essentially we're going to do is buy the water. They will be responsible for the well fields, drilling the well fields, building the pipeline, financing the pipeline, the operations and maintenance of that pipeline. It's almost like a homeowner just buying the water from SAWS. This is very different from what we traditionally do, where we actually finance that project, issue bonds to finance these projects. So it is an O&M cost, operation and maintenance cost, for our ratepayers.
And after 30 years, you get the pipeline and the pumps?
We have so far negotiated that at the end of 30 years, they will deed all of the infrastructure, which is the pipeline, the well fields, the pumping stations, over to SAWS.
Now, following this through the media over the past, what was about a year or so, there was a time when y'all were very enthusiastic about having a pipeline deal with somebody to bring in water to the area. And then it kind of fell off the table, said, well, we really don't need it. And then it seemed like, well, now we do need it. What happened on that?
Well, it's that we necessarily did not need this project as opposed to a different project. Our water management plan of 2012 says that we do need a project of around 50,000 acre feet. So the choice was this particular project or one like it, or to expand our desalination project that is currently ongoing. From its current 33,000 acre feet with an additional 50,000 acre feet. So it was either 50,000 acre feet of desal, brackish water, groundwater, or a freshwater 50,000 acre feet project.
Well, you're already doing the desal, and that seems to have a lot of great momentum behind it. Why not just expand that? Is this more security and diversification?
Diversification, one thing is, yes, you're correct. We're already doing desal. So this, we just had our groundbreaking ceremony last week. It's a project that will be online in 2 short years. That will be phase one of that project, fully built out. It'll be 33,000 acre feet. But our projections, our plan shows that we need an additional 50,000 acre feet. So it's either desal or freshwater. This opportunity of this particular project is once in a lifetime, once in a generation type of opportunity. This particular consortium has permits for this water and production permits, and they have export permits. The state of Texas groundwater districts are notorious for the inability of getting permits to drill for water and obtain water for export. Those are very costly, very time-consuming, very iffy, and we didn't want to let go of this particular opportunity.
Let me get a caller in on the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980, and Jody has called in. Jody, welcome to The Source.
Hey, thank you. I just wanted to make the comment that I think SAWS is doing a really good job at encouraging people to conserve water. I myself have used, applied for and used the coupon. I got a $200 coupon to replace my grass with native species that don't require as much water as grass does. And I just wish that the city as a whole would encourage people to, you know, with San Antonio's growing so fast, encourage home builders to try to encourage the new homeowners to not put in thirsty lawns that require so much water, and follow maybe more the example of like cities like Las Vegas, who, you know, are already in crisis mode. I mean, we're going to be, I don't think that with our population growth, we're going to be in any sustainable way without encouraging people to get rid of their water hungry lawns.
All right, Jody, thank you for calling in. We appreciate that. So the SAWS has an incentive program telling people to pull out your San Augustine and plant native grass.
Essentially, it's a program that's been very, very successful. We quickly ran out of money to have this program for the fiscal year. We're going to do it again. And he's absolutely right, $200 to buy more drought-tolerant native species, take out some of your turf grass. It helps the homeowner. It helps SAWS.
All right. We'll continue this conversation talking about the SAWS plans to bring additional water supplies to the San Antonio area. We're going to figure out what this is going to mean for the rate payer. Also talk about concerns for are we going to loosen up restrictions for development over the aquifer. We want to hear your calls and questions. Give us a call. Number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio is Robert Puente. He's the president and CEO of the San Antonio Water System, talking about San Antonio's future plans for bringing in water supplies. And we invite you to call in with your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980. Let's get David on the air. David's called in. Hey, David, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, hi there. What I'm concerned about is the cost to the ratepayer as to what this pipeline is going to, you know, cost. Because with the desal plans and the ASR and conservation, back in February, the SAW staff said that San Antonio has plenty water for the future. That's as long as we do some conservation on our outdoor landscapes, like the previous caller was saying, we got to reduce St. Augustine grass. But to me, we're stealing water from another region, and it's going to benefit, you know, the developers, the engineers, but it's going to be on the back of the ratepayer. It just doesn't seem fair, and it's not conservation-minded.
David, thank you for your call. Appreciate that. So Robert Puente, reaction.
Well, our 2012 plan said we need 50,000 acre feet of water to fill certain gaps that were in our immediate future.
That's like based on projections of our population growth.
Placed on the merger with Barramet, population growth, per capita use, it said 50,000 acre feet. But what it also said is that we need to continue to conserve, need to continue to drive our per capita use down from 143 gallons per person today down to about 135. We're down, actually down to 127. 2013, we were down to 127 gallons per person per day. So the conservation ethic that we still have at SAWS, and therefore hopefully our community still has, is still very much there, very vibrant. We recognize that just as much as we need this 50,000 acre feet of water, we still need to drive down the per capita use and have those water conservation programs in place to help our ratepayers with that endeavor.
People that I've spoken with, their concern is that SAWS is getting in this big deal to bring that water down in the pipeline, and the SAWS has to pay for the water whether you use it or not, right?
That's incorrect in the sense that the water, if they provide the water, we have to take it, we have to pay for it. If there's some issue back in the source county because of regulatory issues, drought issues, well issues, and they cannot provide the water, then we don't have to pay for it. This is unlike most water contracts where, regardless of any circumstance, you have to pay, period, whether you get water or don't get water. This particular contract, we will only have to pay the water that we get.
Okay, but you're obligated, if they're able to provide a certain amount of water, then 150,000 acre feet of water per year, then you're obligated to receive that water.
50,000 acre feet, we are obligated to receive it and pay for it.
Okay, and this and that water is more expensive than water that we get from the aquifer or from the desal?
Yes.
And so people are concerned that now SAWS is in the business of, you're having to buy this water, now you have to move this water, and so there's less incentive for you to be encouraging people to conserve.
Well, that is incorrect because of our 2012 plan shows that we need both. When we get this influx of water, the problem will be in if we have a series of wet years. Right now we have a series of dry years. We're in a drought. So that issue is not as prevalent right now. But let's say we have a few years of wet years. Yes, we do have to find a way to sell that water, but it won't necessarily be to our ratepayers, to our customers. There's wholesale opportunities all along the I-30 corridor, 130 corridor, excuse me. What we have negotiated with Abengoa also is that all water coming into this pipeline and water coming out of this pipeline is an exclusive right to SAWS. That means along this 142-mile pipeline, we could potentially be selling water to other smaller communities, water supply corporations, other regional authorities. So it's not just for our ratepayers necessarily. These potentially short-term contracts can help alleviate some of the cost associated with this project.
Now, is there a $5 million annual reservation fee that would be locking up these water rights as the pipeline is being built?
Originally, there was. Part of the proposal was that we would have to pay $5 million per year until the project was built out. We negotiated that out. They wanted this immediate influx of money because they essentially are ready to go. They have the permits in hand. As I mentioned, they have export permits, which is unique to water law, where water cannot necessarily leave the district or the county. But this particular water district has issued export permits, so the investors in that project wanted to be paid back immediately, but we were able to negotiate that reservation fee out of the project.
We're speaking with Robert Puente, CEO and President of SAWS, the San Antonio Water System, talking about the future supplies for San Antonio, where the desal plant, which they've broken ground for just last week, and they're in negotiations to bring in water on a pipeline about 150 miles away. And that deal would certainly bring more additional water to San Antonio for future uses. And that would take a lot of pressure off of us. And when job providers come to the area, they look at our water supplies.
They look at water supplies, your workforce, your educational of the workforce. And we want them to have that box checked off. The city leaders, the regional leaders, when they attract another Toyota, a Tesla, for example, that they not have to worry about future water supply. So this is, in our opinion, that water security that we've been searching for 20, 30 years.
Now, we're still going to be using the aquifer. That's still going to be a main part of our water supply.
Yes. The aquifer currently is 80-85% of our water supply. When this project comes fully online, it'll still be the majority of our water supply. The Edwards water is very inexpensive compared to any other water project that we have, but it'll supplement that. It'll actually alleviate some of the pressure on the Edwards in the sense that the less water you pump out of the Edwards, the higher the levels will be, the less likelihood that you'll have restrictions. The more springful they will be, the less likely you will have those endangered species issues. We'll be able to probably save some of this water and put it into our underground reservoir, our savings account for future use. So there's a lot of there's many opportunities when this water project comes online to further be able to manage our water supply.
Well, as you know, San Antonio has not done the best job in protecting the aquifer, but we do have some rules and regulations in place to do so. And there are some concerns from people who really want the aquifer to be maintained. They think that if we get these other water supplies on, then those restrictions will be relaxed and allow development that could, in time, taint the water supply.
Because of those concerns, what we're actually going to be asking council, city council, is to do the exact opposite, to either annex the entire area that we have potential jurisdiction over and allow the city of San Antonio to implement whatever restrictions they feel are necessary to protect that water source. Because right now the city does not have total jurisdiction over this area, nor does SAWS. But if we do have if it is in our CCN, our convenience of necessity, in other words, we have an obligation to serve that area if somebody requests service.
Like at the Bat Cave.
Yes. And so we can't discriminate. We can't choose and say, well, that's we don't like that development, and so we're not going to provide water or sewer service. If they are in our service area, we have to provide service. And so this would give us some flexibility in the sense that now maybe they cannot abide by city ordinances. Maybe the city ordinances are a little bit different to where there's more protection. So in conjunction with this big water project, hopefully the city will look into protections over that area to protect our water source.
Our phone lines are open. If you got a question for Robert Puente, CEO of the SAWS, the number is 210-614-8980. So let's talk about ratepayers. Where do we see the rate of the bills are going? Where are the water bills going?
Up, unfortunately, up. And not just because of this project. They're the classic issues of aging infrastructure, of increased cost, increased regulatory cost, whether they're local, state, or federal. We had an agreement with the federal government regarding our sewer system upgrades that were necessary. We still have to pay for those. So separate and apart from this particular water project, our rates are going to have to increase to keep up with some of those demands.
Okay. And so how much are they going to go up? Because there are a lot of people in San Antonio that, you know, really have to count every penny.
Yes. If you talk about this particular project, in 2020, when it would be online, we're looking at a potential, roughly, give or take, about a 15% increase. So if you take that along with the other increases that I talked about, our sewer system, regular O&M costs, regular replacement of lines, we're looking at an average water bill of right under $90. So it'll increase. But even if it is right under $90, it is still lower than what Austin's is today.
All right, let's get Annalisa Peace has called in. She's a noted aquifer protector advocate. Let's get her on the line. Annalisa, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to ask Mr. Puente, how does he think that we'll better protect the city by annexing those areas on the recharge zone when impervious cover is limited to 15% in the extraterritorial jurisdiction, but it can go up to 85% in city limit?
Okay, Annalisa, thank you for that call. Mr. Puente.
Well, that is the current regulation, and ideally we would not have the current regulation over this new area. So it's just a matter of changing the rules and not changing them in midstream, but having the necessary outreach to all interested individuals and parties and interest to have some type of regulation that helps protect the area over the recharge.
So back to the ratepayer situation. I mean, are the ratepayers having to foot the bill for this expansion for or the growth for the area?
If you talk about growth as far as our infrastructure, our policy is, and the city's policy has been, to allow and mandate that growth pay for itself. And we just had a big issue with impact fees. When new developments hook up to our system, they impact our system, so they have to pay for that impact. So that will continue. This particular project, it is a cost that will be borne by our entire rate base. However, wanting to address that concern of a big rate increase, we're also looking at a very sophisticated expansion of our affordability programs. CPS, for example, just rolled out some very innovative ideas on how to do that. And I have no qualms about copying what they're doing, taking the best of what they're doing. If it doesn't work, they're not doing it. It's doing something different. We need to reach out to our community and make sure that they can afford this lifeline, have a lifeline rate, lifeline supply that they can rely on for the basic needs of the home.
Robert Puente, CEO, President of SAWS, the San Antonio Water System. Thank you so much for coming in and answering these questions, informing our listeners about where we are with our future water supplies.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
And when we come back from the NPR news break, we're going to be talking about the Truman Show delusion, it's how pop culture influences madness and what that means in psychology today. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies.